complete 39, we have to start from 40.
No, we finished 39, right?
39.
Yeah, we did 39. So what was the flow of 39? Any summary?
Very complex.
So what was the main gist or the purport
just
of
have
the
faith and do
Buddhi Yoga is Bhakti Yoga, same as Bhakti Yoga.
Buddhi Yoga is same as Bhakti Yoga. Hello, so Prabhupada now many times he interchanges the Buddhi Yoga uses, Bhakti Yoga uses, sometimes Karma Yoga, right?
Is a Sankhya Yoga with the imposter Kapila.
Yes, we should be aware of that, right? It's a warning Srila Prabhupada gave us. And what's the main thing? Vishkama? Nobody is telling that.
Don't think about the fruits or results. Don't think about the fruits. Just do your work or the duties what you have.
Don't be attached to the
fruits
of your activities, right? And what was the levels in that? What was the gradation in that? Nishkama karma. What happened?
One thing you do for yourself, for your own benefit, and the other one you are doing for the Krishna consciousness part of you.
So that
was
true.
I say properly, but that's what I think.
Close. And what else?
So one thing is your first one, you do without concept of Krishna,
yes.
So you just do it like, as is this platform of soul, but not like, not like selfish like that. The other one is for Krishna.
For Krishna.
Because it's recorded, I wanted to clarify.
Thank you.
Any other point?
So did somebody write down the themes in the purport, like how it flow went? We discussed that, right? In this. Yeah. So how is the flow so far in the chapter, like? We discussed like the connection between Sankhya Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and then now something else. What is the whole flow? So first initially Arjuna is...
Talked about the spirit.
No. First Arjuna's platform is sense gratification, right?
Mm.
Either win or loss, it's in the platform of sense gratification. So in order to uplift him, first Krishna talked about...
The difference between the body and the spirit, right?
Yeah, Sankhya Yoga. Then the basically platform of knowledge. Then, after that, what did Krishna do?
Karma.
So, basically, he talked in the basic platform of karma, like, if you fight, you will gain this. If you don't fight, you will get infamy. Fruitive way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What you gain, what you lose. So, that is karma.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now, what is happening? It's karma and plus jnana together.
Mm-hmm.
So, performing work on the platform of knowledge. Right? So, that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. With the knowledge that I'm the soul and I'm servant of Krishna, how do we perform our work? So that's the whole flow so far.
That's what in the purport or the translation, the last line, right? Sentence, Prabhupada says, so now, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of karma bandhana.
And then it's the Buddhi Yoga.
Yeah, so when the Nishkama Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga.
Yeah.
Same, like
same.
They are same, yeah. In this context.
In this context,
yes.
It's yeah.
The synonyms.
So, and in explaining that, Prabhupada was talking about the atheistic Sankhya Yoga and how that is not related, and even normal, bona fide Kapila Sankhya is also not related, but because they both talk about Krishna, somewhat they are connected. That's what he was clarifying. And then
also Prabhupada mentions in his lecture, right, for example, he says buddhi yoga he uses, so he says only exceptionally intelligent people take up the Krishna consciousness process.
The what part?
Which?
Only exceptionally intelligent,
intelligent people. They take up Krishna consciousness process. Not everybody. Why is it? Why is it intelligent? Exceptionally intelligent people, like all of us, in one sense, but long way to go. But in one sense, Prabhupada says only the intelligent people take up the process.
Or people who take up the process are most intelligent.
Are very intelligent. Why is that? Why he says that?
Because they are trying to solve the actual problem of life. Like, permanent solution.
Yes. So, because we know this place is not a permanent settlement. So, you realize that. So, dull people, of course, we are still not intelligent, don't go to the sky,
but intelligent, yeah, at the bodily concept,
yes,
not
still,
in the spiritual,
still we are, of course we are on the path, but that's the difference. We are intelligent because we have realized that this place is not meant for a permanent settlement. But even us, before even taking up this process, we all worked very hard to create, you know, settle here in this place. But somehow, by the mercy of, you know, Guru Parampara and all, Srila Prabhupada and all, we have at least coming to a knowledge. That's why knowledge is very important, Buddhi Yoga. That's at least we are going to come to, you know, if you are sincere and, you know, very devoted, you will at some point of time, in this life itself, we can realize that and we can go back to God. Just one life. Prabhupada said, in this life itself, you can go back to God. You don't have to take repeated birth and, you know, you don't have to take repeated. You do a little bit now, then, you know, we have to take next birth again where you stop, right? That we'll discuss that. But that's why it said that, you know, knowledge is important, yeah.
So that realization is fundamental for, actually, the fundamental impetus in spiritual life. Beginning also starts with that, like, you know, I'm frustrated here, I'm trying to find happiness so much. Nothing. So long I tried in this life. And Prabhupada is telling, actually, so many lives we have done like that. As a tiger, as a cat, as a goat, so many things. Like, he was telling, like, if I want, I'm so eager to eat meat, and, you know, I want to eat, you know, fresh blood, right? So then Krishna will give the claws and, you know, the teeth of a tiger. Like, okay, just pounce and get. Krishna is so kind, that's what Prabhupada is telling. So many, we went through all that. And then finally we came to human life, and here we got little glimpse that, you know, there's something wrong in what we are doing. That's why we are inclined. So that's the beginning. And that feeling that, you know, I cannot be happy here, that is the main impetus in spiritual life. Because after some time, what will happen? In spiritual life, we get a lot of happiness. Because we are serving Krishna, right? Krishna gives a lot of... That's the first quality of pure devotion service. There are six qualities. So one of the six results. One of that is auspiciousness. We get all auspiciousness, Shubhada. So then we feel, oh, in this world also, if I keep doing devotion service, I can, you know, be happy. We can start becoming complacent and, like, you know, okay, that's good. Then, but this keeps, material energy keeps pinching us once in a while. Then we feel, oh, okay, no, I cannot settle here. So that is the main impetus for us to, especially for us who are, you know, who seek happiness, right? We are not so pure that, you know, we want to do service only to please Krishna. We are partially doing because, you know, it gives us happiness.
Absolutely.
Right? Most of the time, that's what we are doing, at least.
I think starting with that, at least.
Exactly, yeah.
That's
because we know there is no happiness elsewhere. At least this gives me happiness, so let me do this.
Against some selfishness.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, when I was discussing this with my wife, she bought this. So she said, why you go there? I said, you know, because of that. So you are doing it for selfish. I said, you're absolutely right. I don't know how to answer that.
Yes.
So,
this is real.
And I said, yes, it is absolutely.
But this is real selfishness. Self,
right.
What is self?
The soul.
Soul, right? Yeah. So we are benefiting the soul.
So
this is proper selfishness.
Actually, that's a real intelligence.
Yeah.
That you can call it. That's a real.
Yeah.
So it has satisfied the soul.
Other thing is identifying body as self and trying to please the body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that is also misplaced.
Yeah.
This is also, okay, so there is somewhat, most of it is tinged. But we are in the beginning path of, you know, Today only I was listening to this lecture, very sweet lecture by Srila Prabhupada. The title is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, title is Krishna Wants His Children. So, in that, the verse is about Srinivata Swakata Krishna. Many, I don't know whether you, in Bhagavatam, when we start Bhagavatam class, we recite these verses. These are invocation verses. Where it says that one who has developed the urge to hear the messages of Krishna, Lord becomes his well-wishing friend and cleanses the heart, cleanses from within the heart all the dirt accumulated. So basically how it works, the process, right? It's not us, right? We just okay coming and listening or whatever. But the whole magic is happening because Krishna from within the heart sees that okay, this boy, this girl, or this, you know, this person, he has developed eagerness to hear about me. So you know I'm going to help him. So from within he starts cleaning the dirt. And the first thing Prabhupada said, the dirt is, he will remove our desire, the hope that we can enjoy in this world. He said that's the first thing. As we discussed, it's all coming back, right? So that is the one which keeps us here. So first thing Krishna does is, he will remove the complete hope that you can ever be happy here. So then...
It's material happiness.
Yeah.
Not spiritual happiness. You'll get spiritual happiness, but you... No, the material happiness you lose it.
Yeah.
The so-called material happiness.
So then he was saying Krishna is a best friend, that he is so eager and he is selfish. Because the verse says, one who hears about me, if you start hearing about somebody else, Krishna will not bother. If you start hearing about Krishna, then Krishna will be like, okay, I'm going to help. So that, the beginning of the lecture Prabhupada says, so Krishna is very selfish. So sweet, yeah, so nice, so much love, Prabhupada, Mr. Krishna.
And the other point I wanted to emphasize here, Buddhi Yoga. So in the Sankhya Yoga, we did the analytical study. It's Sankhya Yoga is all about analytical study. This is matter, this is spirit, right? So finally, we come to the root of the tree. In Sankhya Yoga, you find everything you study. Finally, you find out that there is a Supreme Lord. We are all part and parcel. In Buddhi Yoga is the where you water the root. Because Buddhi Yoga or the devotional Bhakti Yoga, it's all about pure. You don't have to find anything. It's, you already did that analytical study. So it's all about devotional service. Where you water the root. That's the difference between, you know,
yeah,
you can relate.
We discussed that, right? In 5.4.
Ascending and descending, right? Is that what?
No, that one may not be the right way to... The Sankhya Yoga is also a bona fide Vedic process.
Oh, okay.
So... That seemed like it, but we cannot really say like that.
Okay.
That's, we discussed that difference in 5.4 verse. We did last time we discussed that. So what is the definition of Buddhi Yoga Prabhupada gives in the purport? Or Karma Yoga? It's in second paragraph.
Devotional service
and
that.
Yeah, what's the like
exact
word to word?
In the last paragraph also.
Second, yeah.
No, in the second paragraph.
Yeah. Second paragraph, middle. Three lines.
Direct communion. The Lord says therefore.
Third line, fourth line. Krishna will now, okay. Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga, or in other words, the practice of devotional service only for the sense gratification of the Lord. So that's the definition of Buddhi Yoga.
In the last paragraph also, there is re-emphasis,
yeah.
I believe, right?
Go to text 40. So this is mainly this text emphasizes what happens, you know, you continue devotional service for some time, you drop out. So what's the outcome of that? So let's see what Krishna says in this one. So we'll recite.
Neha vikrama shosti pratyayona vidyate svalambham yasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya
Translation. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport. Activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. One person done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%, whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamila performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in the connection in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 5th chapter, 17th verse. Right?
Yeah.
If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or as Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul?
This can stop. So what was interesting? What did you find interesting?
That you accrue the work.
It always increase.
So we have two accounts, right? One is, you can say one is you have a material
bank account
and one is a spiritual, you know, bank account. Mm-hmm. So here what happens in the material world? You deposit money.
It's a credit debit system.
Yeah, so you always, you know, it reduces and somebody can steal also your money, right? Somebody can act to your account, they can transfer all your money. But here Prabhupada is saying, or this verse particularly, this verse is saying, whatever the profit or whatever, you know, the gain or the service you do, right, it's never lost. So when you take up, right, the next, so whatever duties you perform on the spiritual path, so in this life, Prabhupada is saying 1%, you in this life you do maybe 1%. The next time if you take your, you know, the birth, you will continue from that 1%. So basically there is no loss or diminution. That's what Krishna is emphasizing here.
And this also talks about, implies that, you know, even if you take some small steps forward, it's good, right? That's why.
Oh yeah, that's why. That's why. Yes, wherever you are,
you, are in your,
you just make a small endeavor, right. Even a small step. And that's why it's, and the Krishna is saying, protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So because, you know what happens during the, you know, death, what the experience we go through, everybody, every one of us?
42,000
16,000.
16 or 25,000? It's in thousands. Yeah. It's in thousands. Right? So what is that? So you feel the pain at one time, like maybe for example 60,000 or 40,000 scorpions, 16,000, so coming and biting you at the same time, so that's the pain we are going to feel. Have you had any one bite at least from the scorpion? Did anybody experience any bites?
Yeah,
No. Yeah, I think it's painful.
Bees sting, we have experienced.
Yeah, bees sting itself, it's so painful. Right? So what is that pain? Basically, what is the pain actually?
Body pain. It's a pain of the body.
So, leaving the body.
That's an attachment to the material world that we have to...
Oh, we're getting rid of that.
We get rid of everything at that same
moment. Yes. So, basically, the pain is... It's the attachment we have built around the body.
So that's not like the death is painful. Death is not all. So it's just the attachment.
No,
that
it's an analogy that we have used. It's analogy that's used.
Yeah.
But that's much pain you feel actually.
But yeah, bro, no. That
who will feel that pain?
No,
you or yourself?
The soul. Because you are you're attaching yourself with the body. You're thinking you're a body, right? So at one shot, so for example, let's say, you know, you have nice children, you have a big bank balance, you have a lot of properties, and you know, so at this point, like for example now, if somebody steals your bank account, what happens? All the money is gone. You have maybe, let's say for example, you have $1 million in your account. Somebody took all your money. So you come to know now, like you know, somebody took money, what happens? So you don't have to feel the physical pain, but the mental, the pain, agony you go through, that's one,
yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
One. So all the attachments, so for example family, the whatever you know, attachments of property, friends, relatives, so everything in a shot it's taken, same time, everything will be taken from you at the same time. So but yeah, that's what its analogy is used. So compare how much pain you will suffer at the
don't have to think about all that, Prabhu. So when you're going in the car, some dent happens in the car, think about
it. No, actually, Arulas Prabhu all the time says, you take a, you know, you may buy a new car, you go out of the parking drive, and somebody comes and bangs. So much pain, actually.
You will get detached from that car.
No, really, right? You can imagine, actually, you know.
Actually, what I've seen, like, your attachment to that car is until first dent, actually. Once you got the first dent, that is for me actually. Once you got the first dent,
I agree with you. Same thing. With
yeah, at death, everything will be one shot. Everything will be taken.
One point to Madhuri is you just said body pain will still there. What does it mean?
Yeah, physically also we go through, like Yamunacharya was explaining, like, you know, what happens at the death.
Mm.
He says, like, you know, mucus is coming.
Yeah,
like,
the body pain also.
I'm not able to breathe. You know, physically, he's praying that, you know, at the moment of death, it's going to be so difficult. He described many things like this. So when I am now fully conscious, let me leave my body. Like when my body is functioning properly, let me leave now. Instead of the moment of death where all body, everything, actually... Natural death, I don't know, but some people, they die with ailments, right? Like where, you know, some people go to coma and this
yep.
thing, and some people, body functions start failing, you know, kidney starts failing. So then it's completely out of control, actually.
And also we have seen generally, right, like people before the leaving the body, they start kind of making sound and all, right?
Mm-hmm.
They moan,
yeah.
Right, you know, like, it's very common, actually, I don't know, the real personal experience. But my aunt, right, she did lot of help, you know, that to reach out to poor people and all, you know, like a karma kanda process. She was into that actually, helping out people, feeding and all. But when she was dying, so she was okay until, you know, that night. So when the night came, right, that 2-3 hours, I think, she started, you know, making sound. She was calling her mom, you know, like how, whoever you are attached,
morning.
Usually you
yeah,
try
morning,
to call.
Yeah,
yeah morning. So you call your mom or whoever at that time, that's the time, when the time comes, you really start calling out. So immediately at 12 o'clock or something, she started, you know, like screaming, you know, like calling her mom and all. Then at 2 o'clock or something, she just, you know, opened the mouth and she's gone. So it's said that that's the time Yamadutas comes. When the time comes, right?
And they're
pulling
the soul from the body.
Yeah,
the
so they try
to...
See, that's attachment. So the soul doesn't want to leave the body. And the Yamadutas, they try to drag you from the body. So that is the pain you go through, and that's how you make the sound generally. That's where people make sound.
Mm.
And even after that, no, there
it's
a reality.
Like
yeah,
it
everybody is.
So.
It's a reality. And also after that, it is so attached, the soul hovers around the body for some time. It wants to get into the body. This identifies with the body, so it wants to go into the body. So it's keep, you know, hovering around this thing. And most of the time it stays until, you know, they burn the fire, they burn the body or something.
That's why they burn the body.
Then they think, you know, I don't have thing. Then they drag and take you to the... It's a different... It's all reality, that's how it happens, but of course...
So when we talk about the spiritual, material attachment, that pain is for the soul, not for the body.
Yeah.
That bodily pain that we, you just explained, that is like about your, even
yes,
body is paining.
Yes, body is also paining. But who is experiencing the pain ultimately? Soul, right?
So, soul experiences
that's
through the body, medium of body.
So, but the positive side of it is that how do devotees embrace, actually it said devotees embrace death, and they say, you know, as they say, you know, every year when we take birth, actually we are coming one step closer to death, right?
Yeah.
But actually as we grow older, devotees find it more, because especially in the old age, that's when their devotional service more and more matures. As they gradually detach from all family duties, everything, you know, they can fully devote to Krishna,
yeah,
all those things, right? And devotees embrace death. Prabhu, you can tell about that, Dhruva Maharaj. Death personified, he stepped.
It came, yeah. No, yeah, I will tell that also. And Prabhupada here, right, he quoting Ajamila.
Ajamila.
You know the story of Ajamila, anybody? This is large. You can just put some, this is small. Just concisely, just tell it.
Ajamila was a old man who lived a very material life.
No, he was a Pakka Brahmana. He's a Pakka Pious Brahmana.
Yeah, but at the time of dying, he called out to his name Narayana, his son's name Narayana, when his Yamadutas were there. And then instead of the Yamadutas, the Dutas from Vishnu Loka came and took him. Just because he uttered the last breath, he called out to Narayana.
So basically he was born in a very pious Brahmin family. So he had named his son Narayana, right? So then slowly, you know, how the age, right, Kali Yuga and all, like, you know, it was affecting. Then slowly he gave up these duties as a Brahminical culture duties. Then he started taking, you know, all the into, what do you call it?
Yeah,
prostitution, illicit drinking, all this he took up. So then, you know, he gave up completely his Brahminical culture. Then he became old. And then the death came. Then, you know, the Yamadutas came and they were dragging him. Because he had done a lot of pious activities before and he had named his son as Narayana and he was very attached to his son. So then he was not really, he was calling out, you know, Narayana. He was calling his son. Then when he was calling out Narayana, because Narayana is so merciful, he thought, you know, let me at least, he has done some pious activity. So he immediately sent Vishnudutas. Then they came and they chased away the Yamadutas and they said, at least he has done this pious activity, so you will get a better life.
Velupudi was explaining a very nice story, right? So it seems the way the Yamaloka said, this is my soul, this guy has done so many bad things, he is coming with us. So the Vishnudutta says, no, he is called out to our God, so we are taking him. Then it seems the Yamadutta said, they started fighting with him. The Vishnudutta said, you wait, you go and ask your master, we are waiting here, we are not taking him. Waiting, you go and ask. So they went and asked, you know, Yamaraj, what is this? These fellows are taking away this one. Then it seems he said, "Arey yar, sambal ke, jor se mat bolo. Wo sunega to khan pakad ke khichega. Aram se lo, usi ka hai. Usko chhod do. Wapas gup gup karke aa jaao." So they left him and came. So
if the one name calling, even, you know, unconsciously, if that's powerful, what about we practicing every day, right, sincerely, you know, calling out? So what will be the gain? So we should all think of this one.
So that pastime illustrates the glories of the holy name also. Just one utterance of Narayana,
just one utterance. And what about every day, you know, practicing sincerely, putting effort to do it sincerely with the knowledge, it's not without, you know, very blindly, and understanding and practicing, so we are going to get eternal benefit. That's why the spiritual credit account will always be full. Nobody will.
So why
is that the reason that your son name is Surya Narayana?
This was lucky. Okay. Surya Narayana. I was just trying to say. So my son's name is Surya Narayana.
Well, that's good.
Okay. So why do that talk? I didn't wrap up the concept we were discussing, right? So why do devotees like death, or rather, no? What is devotees' approach to death, or why are they happy about death?
Union with the Lord.
So they know that, you know, they are now
getting out
done
of
with this material life, material body. They are going to get spiritual body where they can serve Lord. Actually, you know, in the advanced stages of pure devotion, devotees feel material body is actually a burden, because this the body has limitations, right? There you need to have some amount of sleep, some eating, something. So they feel all these things are obstructing their service to the Lord. They want to do 24-hour service. So that's why they say, you know, why I want this material body? I am legally waiting for spiritual body where, you know, eternally I can serve my Lord. So that is so much intensity of service. So that's why they are looking forward for death.
But it kind of sounds a bit suicidal, like in the sense.
Not suicidal. See, everybody is going to die. Is it true or no? Everybody is committing. Everybody
life is death.
Right. So, what are you going to take during the time of death? See, anything material you won't be able to take, and we gave a couple of examples also, right? That Alexander or somebody, right? So, what is going to go with you? So, according to this one, there is something which will go with you to next life.
I think if you get up every morning and the first thing you say is, or you think and say, one day closer to death.
Mm.
You just get up there, I think you'll have a different perspective to the day.
Yeah.
Sure. I have heard people telling you, just praying to Lord, thanking that you are giving one more extra day to live. Mm. If you just pray like that, you will get a lot of, you know, basically next verse will, so basically we need to have that determination. You know, we need to practice.
Prabhuji,
the prayer is
thinking
good.
About it, like, why am I not dying now? Is a different, is a negative approach to life altogether. Then.
That's not what they are.
But you will think about that only after you are a good super duper devotee.
Yeah,
now you will not think that.
Very advanced devotees.
You only think about
that. It's a goal.
So, you know, what I've read in, like, with a little more read. So, in earlier days, right, the people used to live a lot longer.
Yes.
That's correct, right? I mean, in the Vedic ages
and all,
so why they used to live longer even if they were following a good Vedic life? We know that death is going to liberate them from the body then. Whereas we are living a shorter life, which is...
That's why Kali Yuga is best.
Oh, that's why Kali Yuga is
the best. Less time,
no.
You know?
Yeah, so...
there are verses in Srimad Bhagavatam where demigods, they pray, they want to be born in earthly planet during Kali Yuga. Because it's like, you know, short span, finish.
See, because those ages... It's very actually kind of difficult to, you need to practice
for
a long time.
Yeah.
Meditation, you have to sit
for 10,000 years, they have to focus on meditation.
We have heard, right, Vishwamitra Muni and Durvasa, they used to sit in meditation. And long time, they used to take so long time. But that's why Kali Yuga is known as a golden opportunity. It's a very golden opportunity.
Even though they are sitting in 10,000 years, still they had a more concentration than us.
Exactly.
So they cannot complete in 10,000, how we can complete in 100?
That's why, relatively,
it's the same difficulty.
That's why our strategy is chanting the name verse and Krishna consciousness devotion service versus meditation, right?
That I understand. I mean, can we cover, can we attain
yes,
in
yes,
that short
same.
Time?
Yes.
Oh, of course. That's why it's so potent, right? That's why the holy names are so potent.
Yeah. So Kali Yuga has in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, to be born in that age.
Actually, it's not the other way around, right? So what the Lord is giving you so many opportunities to come back. Each time you have discarded the rope, he's giving so that you pull. So finally, this is like the shortest string. He's right there reaching out his hand. Now also, if you don't take it.
Then again, slip out. It takes very long. Yeah.
So other point I wanted to... the bring out is, yeah, so Prabhupada in the lecture he was giving example of Rockefeller, Ford, all those people. They had tons of money, right? Lots of money. But they cannot take, right? When they die, they cannot take anything. But that's why Prabhupada was, in the lecture he was telling, we should develop attachment for bhakti and detachment from material activities or material sense gratification. That's the only way we can make spiritual advancement. Agree? So he was telling the material life and spiritual life doesn't go together. That was his point. At some point of time, if you analyze, basically having one foot in one boat and one foot in another boat. So maybe you can go a little bit when it starts going together. But once they start diverting, right? So you have to jump
choose.
Here or here, you have to choose. So that's what Prabhupada's emphasis here was. So we know that at the time of death, nothing is going to, you are not going to take anything. And the only thing you are going to take is bhakti or devotional service. So why don't we in this life, give one life to Krishna, because we have gone through so many lifetimes. We don't know, actually, we don't remember. And it's Krishna's mercy too that we don't remember. If you remember, you will die immediately now only. It's a point only. So that's why he was telling, why don't we give one life to Krishna? Just try one life. You already enjoyed so much. Then why don't you try? That's the same. And the other point he was telling is, yeah, so that's a test for us. We have all material life and one is spiritual life. So he was telling, you know, as the material life or the sense gratification decreases, then automatically the spiritual life goes up. So that's a test for all of us to measure whether is our material life is going, you know, are we increasing our material attachments, or, you know, even the comforts actually. Are we increasing around us, or we, you know, kind of, basically Prabhupada, the main emphasis he was giving was a simple life. He was coming to a simple life. That's the only place where you can practice spiritual life properly. If you have a simple, no, not complicated life, it's more easy to practice spiritual life. That's what he was, you know, wanted to bring out that point. It doesn't go, you know, material life, spiritual life, it doesn't go. It's just a starting point, but if you want to make further progress as we grow, at some point, you know, it's just like a pointer, so we can always, if there was no Google map, right? Right now we have all this GPS, all these maps we have. But initial days, when I came here, it's all about, you know, remembering the
landmarks.
Right? When you drive or something, in village is still like that only. Like you remember some corner, intersection. When you go there, you make left or right. You know, that's how you remember. So these are all kind of, you know, testing point for us. So when you start, you know, taking up devotional service, practicing, so always you can think, where am I going? Am I making progress? So if you want to check your spiritual advancement, so this is a pointer. You can always think, what is happening to my material comforts? Am I, you know, increasing or decreasing? And am I giving more time for my spiritual practice? So that's kind of, you know, measuring scale for all of us. For all of us, you know, it's not that. And it doesn't depend on, for example, we are practicing for 8 years and we, you know, some of you may have taken just now. You should not think that, you know, oh, I need long 8 years to, you know, come to where we are like that. It's not like, it's just a sincerity. If you have even a little bit of sincerity, Krishna will. That's why time scale here doesn't match. On spiritual life, anyway, there is no time scale. It's just our sincerity. Krishna can, you know, push you, like he can take you. He doesn't have to go through there. He can just take you and put you somewhere. So that was the one of very nice lecture he was telling. Prabhupada was mentioning. And the other analogy he was using was, you have a glass of milk, right? So if you want to replace with milk or water, so basically you need to pour out the
glass of ink. Glass of ink.
Ink, or you were selling milk, okay. Milk and water. You was comparing. Okay. So you need to take out the milk. You have to pour out. You cannot fill water to that. So if you want to have pure water, you need to pour out the milk, and you need to. So he was comparing material life and spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. We discussed this Prabhupada anecdote, right? Couple of times. Prabhupada was telling somebody, yeah, just give this one life to Krishna. Then somebody was challenging. It's like, oh, okay, what if, you know, I do, okay, as you said, you know, whole life I'm going to chant, sing, dance, everything, whatever you're practicing, I'm going to do. What if at end of life I figure out there is no Krishna, I wasted my life? Then Prabhupada said, you know, anyway, whole life by doing all this I'm going to be happy, right? End of life, you know, there is no Krishna also, okay, there is no problem. But whole life you're wasted now. There is, first of all, you're suffering and you're wasted. And at the end of life, you figure out there is Krishna, what will you do? Right? So that's the, you know, toss the coin.
Pascal's wager. It's a fallacy, actually.
Yeah.
So the way they come back, it's just for argument. I'm not saying this.
We've already discussed this a lot of times. Right. Isn't it?
No, but there is a comeback for that.
Okay.
Right. So the thing is that if you do this, then the only thing they come back to is that, how do you know that Krishna is the Lord? What if you have been praying to the wrong Lord? So I'm just saying that there is an argument backing that up. So just be aware when you're talking to people.
So it's always you see the Parikshit, what is it? That word?
Parikshit.
Falena Parikshit. So that's the Sanskrit.
Always
you have to tell people. If somebody tells you like that, so you always see by the results.
Right.
So if people, if they don't believe in God or anything, so what's their condition going to be? And what about people who have belief in God? And what about their life? So you always see the, you should give the points. When the people say something, you should always give some points. So they start thinking actually.
That's
they will analyze and you know.
Prabhuji, the most dangerous type of fear is fear of death here?
What do you think?
Scorpions are busy, that means yes.
Yeah, fear, death is the most fearful thing actually.
Yeah. What about the near-death experience?
That time, you know, it's kind of, if the results were judged or something, you know, they will be judging whether to, you know, is that someone?
That's coma.
That's coma, I think. That's
okay. Because I remember in all the DOI sessions, they talk about
near death experience.
Right?
Some people
not of the outer body experience.
So it's a special.
Just Indian, Europe, America.
So it's a special mercy of the Lord, you know, where some people can go back and think there, you know, the previous lives or something they can. That's a very rare few people have that opportunity.
So what happens here? Like, you know, who helps this? We do some devotional service. Now what is the factor there? Why is it allowed to carry forward?
Because
so next akarma. Life Krishna is going to
because it's akarma.
Akarma. So basically spiritual bank account, and the spiritual thing is completely beyond material. So wherever, whichever world you take birth or whatever, going to go with the soul. So then what happens is next body, and at next paragraph Prabhupada says, at least we will be given a human life. That's the best deal. Minimally we will get a human life. And in that human life, at appropriate time, Krishna will remind us. Either you will be in touch with devotees, or suddenly you will get attracted. You will not even know,
We will read that actually.
Yeah, so we will not even know how we get attracted. But suddenly we feel like, I am naturally liking everything. So okay, let me continue. Many of us come with distress, but there are people who come because of previous spiritual benefit already. So that's how it works.
Well, especially all the kids, right, who are kind of born.
Yeah.
And for example, Prabhu's the son Rishabh is born. So all that Mataji was reading, all Srimad Bhagavatam, right, Prabhu, during pregnancy, she was reading Bhagavatam and listening everything. So the kid which was inside, it's really, it has done already something. Maybe, this one life it has to come and experience, or even to benefit others. So it's all special souls who take birth like that. And Prabhu can read that. Prabhupada mentions here in that one.
The last paragraph, right?
Yes, yeah.
Material activities and the results end with the body. But work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness.
See, Prabhupada, he says at least one is sure to have a chance. So it's kind of, he's giving a blessing that, if you practice, that for sure we are going to get benefits. It's blessing from him actually, right?
Of course, he speaks from Shastras, so
yeah, it's of course
it's in line with Shastras, and he was saying that at least human life. So we discussed this several times, right? What if somebody practices for a long time and stops us and short time? Which chapter was it? The results of a person who practices for a long time and he stops. What happens to him versus a person who practices for a short time and stops? It's in Bhagavad Gita chapter. Somebody remembers, last time when we had this topic, somebody pointed out. Who is that?
The chapter 6.
The mode of...
Yeah, chapter 6. Chapter 6, Arjuna asked this question. What if,
The raven cloud.
You're giving me this process. What if I'm not able to successfully complete it? What happens? Then, basically two questions. Like, one is a person practicing for a long time, and he stops. Or person practicing for a short time, it stops. Then Krishna says, one who practices for a long time and stops, he will be born in a devotee family, a transcendentalist family. So from childhood, he can take it up. So those are all the children who are born in our families. Very special souls. No? From childhood, they are eating prasadam, reading, listening Bhagavatam. So there Krishna says, you know, such a birth is very rare. It's not ordinary. Then Prabhupada also tells his own example, like, I am fortunate to be born in Goswami family, and you know, even my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta, he is born, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur son, right? So they are very special and rare. And then that's for the person who practices for a long time. Person who practices for a short time and he stops, he will be given birth in this, you know, Brahmana or aristocratic family. So that he has a favorable environment. He doesn't have to struggle for basic needs. But at the same time, he may not take it also. So, because he will be given a chance to fulfill his material desires. He stopped after a short time because he has a lot of material desires. So he will be given a chance where he can fulfill his material desires and then take up Krishna consciousness. So that is for a short person, short people. This is in 6.42. So 6.41 is a person who practices for a long time. Is born into a rich aristocratic family, and righteous, right? And then that's a short one, short practice. And the next one is a person after long practice, born into the family of transcendentalists. 42. That's why Krishna says such a birth is very rare.
So the next verse, text 41, it's a memorization verse. So you have to memorize this verse. Which one, 41?
No,
yeah, we'll read. But text 41, yeah, we have to memorize this verse.
This one.
And you know what's special about this verse? 41? I don't think any of you heard about this particular verse. So Prabhupada read this. You know, when he was practicing, so he read this and he became so resolute in his determination. He became so strongly determined that, you know, he wanted to take up the Krishna consciousness seriously and he wanted to spread it throughout the world.
He wanted to take the, you know, instruction of his guru,
yeah,
as his life and soul. The impetus for that came from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary for this verse, where he says that, you know, for a disciple there should be nothing else but desire of a spiritual master. Is his life and soul. There is nothing else should be for the disciple. When he heard that, then he felt like, you know, okay, that's what I need to make. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me to preach in the first meeting itself, he told, right? You know, you're an English speaking person, why don't you spread the mission in the Western countries? He said, okay, this I have to make my life and soul. That determination he got after that, after reading the purport.
And it's a very practical for all of us too, right? So it applies so much actually. Let's read, and it's a very nice one. So we'll recite.
Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bhavashakayinantascha buddha yo vyavasayina. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana
those who are in on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of Gurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called
Vyasa.
Okay. Intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitaram states, okay, I will not try to read that. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna conscious, he need not act in relationship to the material world with the obligations of family, traditions, humanity or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagement of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna conscious, he need no longer endeavor of good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material concept of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvanam
Sarvamiti
Samatma
Sudurlabha.
A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all material, all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches. So by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's action, then everyone will be satisfied.
Can stop. That's one kind of one theme actually in this one. So is our intelligence many branched too? Are we all very resolute in our determination, or it keeps flickering? Intelligence. Right? So we can know the cause for why our, you know, why we always, you know, flicker, our mind keeps flickering. We cannot make something, we make some decision, and if somebody comes and tells, you know, gives more inputs, we'll get confused. Right? You usually get diverted from the things many times. It's not just, I think it happens every day. It's not like, you know, you get confused every day.
So, but the person with resolute intelligence, how he behaves, that he has the first two lines, right? The strong faith that by Krishna consciousness, one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life. That's all he has.
Definition.
So, vyavasayatmika buddhi can be viewed as, you know, single-pointed vision. I have strong faith that by Krishna consciousness, I am going to achieve all perfection. All my desires will be fulfilled, and that's all I want. So focused. So that is vyavasayatmika intelligence. And another definition, Prabhupada, this is definition of faith. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So it's not that you see what you have trust in, you know. Faith in God, right? That's, we don't see God, but we have faith in God. So faith means unflinching. Unflinching is unwavering. Trust in something sublime. How do we get this intelligence? And if we don't have it, how do we cultivate, or how do we, you know, practically come to this stage? We ideally want to come to this stage, right? Where we have so much faith in Krishna consciousness that we can, you know, leave behind our material desires easily and more invest in Krishna consciousness. That's what we are struggling, right? Sometimes we somehow, you know, we attend some class and we feel impetus, oh, okay, I can do it. The moment we go, we lose it, right? Right? So we all want that steadiness, that determination. So how practically we can increase that? Yeah, association. Yeah, basically the whole process of devotion service, right? Mainly, you know, serving devotees. That's the easiest way. If somebody is sadhus and, you know, the quickest, easiest way to make progress is to serve devotees. That's actually a more difficult thing to do because we have to become humble for that. But if we can do it, that's the, you know, shortcut to make progress. Then
or
yeah,
like
serving
for
what
following
is
the instructions. For example, for us, if Hari Vilas Prabhu says something, we know for sure it's good for us. We don't, you know, doubt it actually. Whatever he says, we just follow in his, you know, orders. So once you follow somebody like that, then your faith automatically becomes strong.
Yeah.
Because we see his results. Whatever he does, we have seen. And, you know, he is bringing so many people closer to Krishna. So it's already proven. It's, you know, it's the, of course, he is following Srila Prabhupada. So that's why, again, it's, you know, parampara.
Exactly.
He's not that, you know, he's making his own. So he's following and he's giving the same instruction. It's not different. Whatever instruction he gives, we have seen many times. It's all coming from scripture, sadhu shastra, the triangle, right? We all know that matching thing. It should match. And he gives everything according to that. So once you follow, so your determination also becomes stronger. Every day, you know, it increases. He says something, you do, then, you know, automatically, you know, yes, that's good. So we can continue easily in the on our path also.
And also, like now, right now, let's say we are confused. Okay, I don't know whether to, you know, take this job or should I move to India, all these things. That's why we are bewildered, right?
Many
branched. We are thinking so many things. But when we approach such sadhus, like, you know, Hari Vilas Prabhu, more experienced Krishna conscious people, they clearly tell, okay, do this. Then, you know, we can be easily inclined, or rather, easily jump into the path of Vyavasayatmika intelligence. Where, you know, just take it and follow it. Like, path is given to us. Instead of we trying to calculate, you know, which one to take and keep thinking for years together, right? This is good, that is good. Somebody already telling us, whom we have faith, you know, they are telling for our own benefit. That much we have faith. Life is simple.
Yeah, and we should know, that's why here, right? We know what's our main goal. So we know our goal is going to be, you know, to make our faith stronger in Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
And whatever the sadhus, they give generally the instructions is to make that faith stronger. So then, for example, here, right, many people go to Hari Vilas Prabhu and this is a very common question here for Hari Vilas Prabhu. Should we go to India or stay back here?
Mm.
Very common question for him. Many people go and ask him. And of course, based on the situation, you know, that person, how much he knows them by, you know. So he gives them the... Some people, they take it as an instruction and they do it. Some people as, you know, just a feedback kind of thing. So that we cannot help, because if you don't have strong faith, even if the other person tells you good things for you, you take it as a feedback.
You
don't,
your logic won't accept
it.
Yeah,
so because you are still not on the platform where, you know, you accept somebody's instructions as the, you know. So anyway, so many people come and ask him, so should we go back to India or stay back here? And Hari Vilas Prabhu tells, I think, you know, I heard a few things, you know, generally. So, no, that's the faith, finally, you know. That's how you can get that intelligence also. Following somebody's, you know, advanced person's instructions, your intelligence also get, you know, properly. Your many branches, it will be focused, you know. It's more easier to practice devotional service. Anyway, so the next, the flow is, yeah, first you have that, once you have that intelligence, then you know what activities you are supposed to do, Krishna conscious activities, so you start doing those activities. And Prabhupada also here in the purport, he says, watering the true and automatically waters, so that's
basically
also very
connecting
important.
That verse 7.19, right? Bahunam Jamanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapatyante Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulva. That means after many, many lives, right? One who is in proper intelligence, he will surrender to Krishna as all in all. So it takes so many lives. It's not like, you know, it's easy. That's why these days many people question, right? Oh, why only Krishna? Why is he God there and so much all these things, right? So that means, you know, they have yet to go through so many lives to come to that conclusion. Because Krishna himself says it takes many lifetimes. So we should not be, you know, we should be compassionate. We should not be proud about ourselves. But, you know, we know why they are in that state. Then, so that's how he's connecting that verse to this. Because this person, after many, many lifetimes, he came that Krishna is my only Lord. That is nothing but Vyavasayatmika intelligence again, right? Because then I am going to focus everything on serving Krishna. Instead of, you know, so many like if I'm in early life where I'm still deciding, you know, who is God, or I'm still deciding whether to serve God, then I'm not going to have resolute intelligence to serve Krishna. But when I've come to the conclusion that Krishna is all in all, then automatically my determination to serve Krishna also will be steady and focused. So that's how these two are related.
I'll give one funny the incidents. You know, it happens all the time whenever I go to India. So every time when I go to India, my place, my sister's place, she will have one new picture in the altar. Have you seen in India generally?
Yeah.
In the where
yeah.
they worship, right? So they will have, you know, some temple they visit and they give a picture,
yeah.
they put it on the altar. So like that, she has collected, you know, so many pictures for them. So what happens is whenever they want something, so they go to one, for example, maybe Lakshmi Puja or something they do. And if there is health problem or something, they go to some other, you know, the demi. Basically, they are all demigods in charge of those particular things. So then, you know, that's why it's many branch.
Mm.
That's why they are so much confused. And they are building that artificial, you know, the what you call the need to satisfy each demigod. And you cannot reach out to everybody. And we discussed, you know, that particular previous.
Mm.
You cannot reach out to everyone. As a human, as a soul, you have so much of obligation for so many people. And you cannot do. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, yeah, right, if you root, water the root, you don't have to worry. So then our mind becomes, you can focus more. Otherwise, it's always like that. You will be never be able to satisfy everybody.
But if you're spiritual and you're resolute in that spirituality, is it the same? I've heard from Harivilas Prabhu as well, right, in his speeches, like he says Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And even you have people who are spiritual.
Yes,
are
very devoted.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that similar?
Yes, if they follow the actual, for example, Christianity, right? If people stick to the real, the Ten Commandments, whatever the Jesus gave, if they stick to that they can be real Christians. So Prabhupada once he had a very good discussion with one of the ministers, like, you know, the Christian minister church. So then Prabhupada very clearly told, it's in his Science of Self-Realization or Question and Answers book, he told, we are not trying to convert people from Christianity or something to, you know, to Krishna consciousness. If they follow their process properly, they can go back to God.
So take that analogy to your sister.
Yeah.
If she's spiritual.
Yeah.
And then whether it is Lakshmi, whether it is, you know, Saraswati,
yes.
you know, all, and if she's
demigods,
spiritual,
yes.
then it's...
But the definition
of spiritual is where you understand what is spirit. Right?
Yes. First we need to understand.
Is the understanding of spirit the same in Christianity as well as what it is in... Because here we say, you know, the Atma, the soul, right? That's what we define.
They don't... some group, they don't believe. Even in the Christianity, there are many branches.
Yeah, that's true. So then how come, I mean, so is the Christian, so in that case, so there is a section
no,
of Christianity with the spiritual...
No, for example, Jesus himself is a messenger of God, right?
Hmm.
He told, right, that Jesus...
And do they
right?
say spirit is different
yeah.
than the what? They say that? Okay.
Yeah.
They believe in reincarnation.
Some group, they believe in reincarnation,
yeah.
some people. But
many
some group, they don't believe. Many.
Branches.
They have a different branches again. But anyway, Prabhupada told, if you are a Muslim, if you follow your proper teachings, you can go back to, you know, it's just a different path. You can go back to Godhead, he told. And Prabhu, your question, so for example, my sister follows so many things. So basically, it's all Vedic process. You know, the Vedas, whatever they recommended, the Karma Kanda process, she's following that. And it's a gradual step.
It
takes very long time. And as we discuss here, human life is very rare.
Yeah.
So hoping she will get a human life. Right, next life. If she doesn't get, then she has to, you know, for some. Of course, she is very pious. In that sense, she is very, very pious. Of course, they can go to heavenly planets to enjoy more. That's all they can do. But Prabhupada here is making, clarifying that, you know, if your mind is fixed, for example, instead of doing all this demigod worship, if you do Vishnu, you know Vishnu is the root of everybody. So why don't we do the, that's Prabhupada point. That's the intelligence. Actual intelligence is that. Vyasayatmika Buddhi. That's the definition.
Actually, this I wanted to practically relate one of this thing, right? Here it says, right, if you water the root of the tree, then leaves and branches are automatically satisfied. So, by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render highest service to everyone.
Hmm.
So, I had a realization, like these days, were carrying, right? Actually, I personally didn't serve any of the, you know, devotees, like personally go and, you know, help them in any way, or at least consciously maybe I didn't do. But then so many people, they come and, you know, try to do help something or the other, right? Like, you know, exactly whenever we need it, the most important thing, somehow, you know, it works out. So far, by Krishna's mercy, it's wonderful. So then I was reflecting, you know, why it's happening like this? You know, why this devotee, I never served them. Why they are, you know, so eager to help me? So then the only thing I could come to is like, maybe there is some sincere service to Krishna I did somewhere. So by watering the root, which is Krishna, Krishna is satisfied. Then from within the heart, he inspires them, right? You know, okay, you go help this devotee. So that's how it works, the connection. That's the only realization I could, conclusion
so
I could come
to. What is the realization
to.
Again?
Realization is because I might have probably served Krishna some sincerely, at least little bit, by which, you know, he is inspiring devotees to help me.
It's basically kind of a reciprocation.
Yes.
It's devotional service also is reciprocation.
So what I meant to say is I never, leaves and branches, I never served individually so many people, right? Maybe, you know, I might have focused on serving Krishna. There is some amount of sincerity. So because of which, you know, Krishna... What is the root of the tree? Everybody is satisfied.
Mm.
People, even though, you know, I don't see them, I don't meet them, they are somehow satisfied. Not like, you know, they want to, you know, maybe there are some people who want, but, you know, many people are like happy to see you, right? Because they will be satisfied automatically. Somehow, you know, Krishna works like that, yeah. So all we have to do is, of course, in serving Krishna, we have to serve devotees also. Doesn't mean, you know, just focus on Krishna and, you know, do all kinds of offenses to all devotees in the world. But, so that's what I felt like, you know, the realization.
Does that Prabhu Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and...
Yeah, that's even in the devotional path people, they are in different
right, so
levels.
So what's the third level? Uttama Adhikari,
Kanishtha. Kanishtha Adhikari. So they have faith, but they are not good in knowledge. They don't have proper knowledge. They have faith that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But they don't have that, you know, the knowledge, complete knowledge. And they commit offenses for others. They don't know. Then Madhyama Adhikari is the one who has the faith in Krishna, who knows the knowledge, who has the knowledge. And he helps others to take up Krishna consciousness. Then the Uttama Adhikari is the highest stage. Even with just by they talking, people get attracted
by
to Krishna consciousness.
By seeing them, people take up Krishna consciousness.
Just by seeing. You see that person, you think, wow, something is, you know, a special person, you take up. And that's what exactly Prabhupada was. People, when they saw him in park, right, in New York, when he came in 1965, he was just chanting by himself. He was 69 years old. He's not a, you know, young actor or film actor or something. He was an old man. You can imagine how you can, old man can attract people. And that too, all
young people,
like, you know, if he's like that. That's the power of its Uttama Adhikari. Okay, we can finish this. Yeah, remaining. So this is the next one where, as she pointed out, the faith and the guidance we need, especially what's the link, how can we get link to Krishna? We cannot approach him directly. So that's what we are in this particular.
Yep.
Service in Krishna.
Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows.
Vishya prasada bhagavat prasada vishya prasada nagati topi
by satisfaction of
samsara da. Okay.
By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various type of fruitive acts.
So it's a test for all of us, so we can always now think how our mind, you know, takes you for a right spin, right? Every day it takes you for a spin. This, that, so many things. So you can always, by keeping track, you know, at least you can control your mind a little bit. You know, sometimes it goes here, then you can always think and apply the knowledge, whatever you are learning now. Then at least, you know, it will come, it will cool down a little bit. You can calm it down. And what's the essence here? It's a very, very important, right?
Belief in your spiritual.
So can we approach Krishna directly? Can we go to Krishna directly?
No.
Why? Why we cannot go to Krishna directly?
Very little knowledge.
Knowledge, you can read the book.
But not the way Krishna made it, right? Because then you'll have your own interpretation.
We don't even know how to serve Krishna. Prabhupada said actually. Can that's why we need training.
Mm. Yeah.
Krishna
can you
is
go
in
directly?
Front of us, we don't know how to serve him. Right? So that's why spiritual master trains us and purifies us. He comes us to the platform of pure devotion where whatever we do may be pleasing to Krishna.
So is there anything in life you learned by on your own?
That keeps changing actually. Whatever
walking.
You learn.
You took help from the mother earth. You couldn't even stand up, right?
Oh, okay.
Like that sense. Like you cannot do it anything on your own. Like education, you went to college, right? College or whatever, teachers. So in the one sense, if you see, everybody is kind of a guru actually, who helps us in anything. They're considered as a guru. It can be anything.
That is the complexity of human life, though. I mean, if you look at alligator, like, you know, maybe there are a lot of animals, like giraffe, for example. The child is born and starts running or something. I mean, deer is one of those
things. But they support.
Yeah, giraffe. So. There is no support. I mean, the child is born, it gets up and it starts.
But gravity
it.
Is, I mean,
how did the giraffes maybe know how to walk? Like, I mean,
yeah, you tell me how it knows.
I don't know.
The body itself is like blissful, right?
So it is programmed. Like, I mean, so.
Paramatma is given.
So
Paramatma is inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guiding intelligence. First of all, anyway, whatever we remember things, right? For example, you sleep night. You are completely blank, right? Morning you get up. You remember everything in the night and past, right? So what is that? So you switching off something, right? Like you switch off something and morning you get up. So who gives that forgetfulness and remembrance in the morning?
Paramatma.
Somebody has to give.
Yeah.
Right? It's a Paramatma from inside. He helps us remember things. Whatever you know, night you switched off your system, morning you get up, you turn on system.
But
so
forgetfulness is the biggest deterrent for Krishna consciousness also, right?
No, nonsense. It's
because I'm, that's what happened. I keep forgetting these verses. I mean, I don't understand.
No,
that's why in every verse they're just repeatedly emphasizing same concept.
One month you will forget that concept as well, not forget about the verse.
No, you will not. See, I will, my example I'll give, I'm so bad at, because I never learnt Hindi. In school also, they didn't teach us Sanskrit, no Sanskrit. So I was not even, you know, I couldn't even read when I came here, right? When I took Bhagavad Gita, I couldn't even memorize single verse actually. I tried because it doesn't work. I never practiced. So I thought, you know, it's not for me. But then we Bhakti Gita, like what you are all taking, so the class started. Then I was thinking, everybody knew. For example, she was in the class. She already knew all the verses, many verses. I was, you know, a little bit of the complexity.
Inferiority
complex. Then I was thinking, you know, whether you know I
actually,
should take the class or not.
He said like, you know, I will not do, you do.
I told her and couple of people, I told, you know, I don't want to come because I don't know anything. I cannot even, you know, say a single word in Sanskrit or Hindi. I don't want to take this class. Then, you know, everybody encouraged me, you know, just do it. It will, you know, it will, Krishna will help you. Do it like that. Then I took up and just the practice. This verses especially, right? If you keep practicing, you will get it. So like that, I used to, you know, put a, you know, how you prepare for GRE and all.
Yeah.
Like you put that, what do you call that?
Flashcards,
right?
Every day.
So I did that. So these people already on my batch, everybody knew all those verses. So what I did is, I did the flashcard. In the back side, I did the, write the translation English. Yeah. Every day morning while going in the bus or sometime whenever, I used to take and open. And that's how I cleared my exam and also I practiced. And I would say more, now I know more than her, at least the number of verses. Because I practice almost, you know, whenever I get time, I try to. So if you practice, you will never forget actually. And this one I learnt maybe, you know, some verses I learnt almost
so
5 years.
So why is Paramatma giving us the forgetfulness? I mean, what is the benefit of forgetfulness? Why not have a, like a, you know, eternal retention of what we are doing?
Because we ourselves want to forget. We are not yet so Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
We are not so sincere.
We may think, actually, intuitively we may think, oh, actually I am fixed up or other, you know, I am ready to take up Krishna consciousness fully. But we are not yet there. So, you know, Krishna appropriately gives whenever.
Or maybe it's, maybe that forgetfulness is an advantage that I am forgetting some of the material things.
Forgetfulness is in both ways, right?
But even though we will remember only this lifetime memories all together at the same time, that's very tough.
Yeah, exactly. That forgetfulness
is a prediction. Of course, forgetfulness, if you want really to, you know, practice this one, you will not give forgetfulness to forget this.
Forget Krishna, you will not forget Krishna. You may forget the details, like, you know, verses, all these things. But, you know, the goal that, you know, Krishna is the supreme and I have to surrender to him. That forgetfulness you will not get. Right? The essence will be there. Details, like details may be lost. That's what this verse Krishna promises, right? Next life you are going to take it up. So that remembrance is given by Krishna.
So for example, in the initial days we took, right? For example, in at work, if somebody brings anything, right? No food or something, sweets or something, we used to eat immediately. After that we realized that, you know, oh, we should not have, you know, eaten or something like that. But now the intelligence is there. The, you know, he reveals the knowledge. Krishna automatically, when you see something, automatically your intelligence is superior than your mind. So automatically intelligence will tell, you know, it's not offered, better to for you to avoid. That's all. So he reveals, Paramatma reveals knowledge like that. It, you may not remember the verses, but practical applications, yes. He will give you the
essence,
intelligence.
Realization.
To the, realizations to that, you know, you don't have to.
Yeah.
It comes. At that time, intelligence will always dominate the mind. You will never go under the control of mind. Intelligence will be superior to the mind.
So that's why devotion is not measured by number of verses, you know.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not that.
I don't
right?
think,
so
yeah.
That's
I was just giving example, but it's not that you need to know verses.
No, I'm saying, when I say number of verses, most like figurative.
Yeah.
I'm saying, okay, I go there and eat something and there is, oh, you know, I should have done this, right?
Mataji converted our argument too. Very nicely.
No, because initially when he would have thought, right?
Yeah.
No, for the initial
sublime
part.
Sublime touch.
Very gentle, but he got
no,
it.
No, actually, I was not, maybe more relevant to the first half of the story rather than the second half. Because first half, I will tell you practically, you know, the experience I had. When we both were here, right? Like devotees and we got married here. Devotees arranged our marriage. I don't know how many of you know. So then when we started, they said, you know, okay, you meet, you talk to each other and all. So at that time, Prabhu's profile was, you know, background service. Even now he still does. Always, you know, in the class also, maybe sitting in the back, I don't know. But always, you know, I used to now personally observe. Otherwise, you know, we don't care about other Prabhus, what they do. But, you know, now, no, I want to know who is the person I'm going to live my life with, right? I am the person first in the row every time in class. No, like, you know, social and, you know, I can talk or so many things. He's very quiet, completely opposite. He does keep to himself and does lot of, you know, services for Krishna behind. And chanting also at that time he was not prioritizing. So, you know, after all the service at 10 o'clock in Sunday, he used to start chanting. So
not all
those things.
Rounds.
Yeah.
Not all the
rounds. Not all, yeah, some rounds, yeah. But then, So at least I know these differences. But then when I start talking to him about philosophy, I found out that actually conclusions are same. Like whatever I understood from sitting in the classes for so many years, or rather, you know, focusing on sitting, hearing, by him serving Krishna sincerely, he got the same knowledge, same realization, and much more actually more convincing realization rather than me just, you know, talking without acting. So that's the conclusion I got, that Krishna gives the intelligence from within. If you just do service, he gives the knowledge and intelligence. It's not about, it's not about number of verses, you know, it's not at all that.
The knowledge gets revealed from Paramatma, that's the essence
actually.
Yeah,
Guhyatam. Harivaspu always mentions this.
Yeah.
Guhyatam, the revealed knowledge.